Last night in the Taraweeh, alhamdulillah, the 13th para was recited, which is the first quarter or so, is the completion of Surah Yusuf, followed by Surah Turrad, and then by Surah Ibrahim. In the complete surahs are mentioned in this para. As mentioned yesterday, the circumstances of the revelation of Surah Yusuf was that the Jews wanted to test Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam if he was a true Nabi or not, and they sent a delegation, or through the mushrikeen, they then questioned Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said that if you are a true Nabi, then tell us, why did the family of Yaqub alaihi salam leave Sham and settle down in Egypt? Sham, we should understand, is not only the country today we know as Syria, but Sham in those days was that whole region which covers Syria, Jordan, Palestine, and so-called Israel. All this, or that whole area, is called Sham. The family of Yaqub alayhi salam were in the place called Canaan, which today occurs in present-day Palestine. So they asked the question, and they wanted to know, because they were certain that the people of Makkah had no knowledge whatsoever of this incident, and to test Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam if he was a true Nabi. This is why they posed this question, and also they asked about the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala revealed the surah in its complete entirety. The whole incident of Yusuf alayhi salam is mentioned in its complete form, and also in the sequence of occurrence. The incident, very briefly, as mentioned here in the Quran Majid, is that Yusuf alayhi salam, as a young boy, he seen a dream in which the sun, the moon, and 11 stars are bowing down to him, prostrating towards him. He informs his father Yaqub alayhi salam, who was a Nabi, concerning this dream. Yaqub alayhi salam immediately realized, there are great glad tidings for my son Yusuf alayhi salam in this dream, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give him a very lofty position of nabuwat later on. And this is exactly what happened. Anyway, the father also tells him that don't tell your brothers about this dream. They will become jealous, and perhaps they might try to harm you. And this is what they did also. Yaqub alayhi salam had intense love for Yusuf alayhi salam from amongst his sons, and the remainder brothers, one was Binyamin, who was the blood brother or the real brother of Yusuf alayhi salam from one mother, and the other brothers, the other 10 brothers, were all from another brother, from another mother, and therefore they were the half brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. They could not see why their father is more inclined in love and affection to his son Yusuf alayhi salam, and that is why they became extremely jealous, and they conspired to kill Yusuf alayhi salam. And eventually, after much deliberation, they then decided that they will throw him into a well, and some travelers passing by, then looking for water, then they will find him there, and they will take him, and then they will be take him away, and he will then be forgotten. So this is what they did, that they threw Yusuf alayhi salam into the pit of the well, and they presented the excuse to their father that a wolf had devoured Yusuf alayhi salam. The father, being a Nabi, and immediately he had some apprehension concerning this story of his sons, concerning Yusuf alayhi salam, because he knew that as proof, these brothers, they brought forward the kurta of Yusuf alayhi salam stained with blood. They had slaughtered a sheep and just stained the kurta with that blood of that sheep. But they told their father, this is proof that a wolf devoured Yusuf alayhi salam. The father, seeing the kurta being completely intact, he knew that there is something wrong with the story. How can the wolf first take out the kurta of Yusuf alayhi salam and then devour him? This is an impossibility. But he said, for sabrun jameel. In other words, I will exercise such patience in which there is no complaint. And he exercised restraint and sabr. Thereafter, Yusuf alayhi salam is then picked up by some travelers and they take him to Egypt, where they sell him in the marketplace as a slave, and the chief minister of Egypt, he purchased Yusuf alayhi salam and then brought him into his house, and then his wife became infatuated with the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. He was extremely handsome and with refined character also. She became infatuated and tried to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala protected Yusuf alayhi salam, who refused to accede to the charms and advances of the wife of the chief minister. And eventually then the wife of the chief minister got Yusuf alayhi salam imprisoned. In prison, then Yusuf alayhi salam, because of his righteous and upright nature, he won the confidence of the people of the prison. And he also propagated the message of Tawheed to the people of the prison. And then two of them seen a dream, and Yusuf alayhi salam then accurately interpreted that dream, that one of them will be put to death and the other one will be freed, who will become the cupbearer of the king. And this is exactly what happened. Then the king himself sees a dream and asks his courtiers for an interpretation of that dream. None of them could give a sensible interpretation for that dream. Eventually that cupbearer, he remembered that there was a time that I was in prison, and a person there, languishing there in prison, he had accurately interpreted my dream. So he told the king that there is such a person who can interpret dreams, and then the king sends him to the jail, to the prison, to ask Yusuf alayhi salam for the interpretation of the dream, which Yusuf alayhi salam gives the interpretation. The king is quite impressed with this interpretation of the dream, and orders that Yusuf alayhi salam should be released. But Yusuf alayhi salam refuses to step out of jail until his innocence is proved and he is absolved of any blame which the wife of the chief minister had tried to put on Yusuf alayhi salam, that he was the one who was the guilty party. Anyway, then the 13th para starts with that Yusuf alayhi salam then is absolved of all blame and his innocence is proved and he steps out of jail. But Yusuf alayhi salam announces, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِيمَ رَبِّي, that I don't absolve my nafs of any blame, because the nafs is such, its nature is such, that it incites towards evil besides that person on whom my Rabb has shown mercy upon. Yusuf alayhi salam wished to impress upon the people that it wasn't his personal achievement that he remained chaste in this whole episode. It was only the fadl and karam and mercy of Allah Ta'ala that he got saved. Whereas normally the nafs-e ammara, which is that nafs, if it is not tamed, it will definitely incite a person to commit evil and indecent acts, and Allah Ta'ala and save me. So he mentioned this so that purity and piety, he doesn't attribute it to himself, as mentioned elsewhere in Surah An-Najm in the 27th para. Allah Ta'ala says, "Fala tuzakku anfusahum." Don't attribute purity and don't attribute cleanliness to yourself. In other words, it is not your personal achievement if you remain pure and chaste in any matter. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his fadl and karam who keeps a person chaste and pure from getting involved in sin. On this, the king was even more impressed with Yusuf alayhi salam, and he decided that he will keep him as his close advisor. And when he meets Yusuf alayhi salam, he gets even more impressed, and then he appoints Yusuf alayhi salam to become the chief, what we can call minister of finance, in charge of the state treasuries. Hardly a year passes after that, and then the king appoints Yusuf alayhi salam to now see to all the state affairs, the administration of the state. In effect, he became now in charge of the whole administration of the country, and the king was the king just by name, but the running of the country was being done by Yusuf alayhi salam. Anyway, the incident then carries on, that Yusuf alayhi salam then interpreted the dream of the king, who had seen that seven fat cows are being eaten by seven lean cows. And he also seen in the dream that seven ears are green ears of corn, and he also seen many other dry ears of corn. So Yusuf alayhi salam interpreted the dream that for 7 years there will be abundant crop, and but that crop has to be preserved because it will be followed by 7 years of severe famine and drought. And this is exactly what happened. And then Yusuf alayhi salam interpreted the dream that in those 7 years of abundant crop, the crop should be preserved so that at the time of famine, there is enough food for everyone. So being in charge of the state treasury, then he conserved and he managed the crop which was in abundance in those 7 years in such a way that when the years of drought came, the people of Egypt had no problem with regards to food. But the surrounding countries and areas around Egypt who had not prepared for the 7 years of extreme drought, they were struck with famine, they had no food, and then they heard that in Egypt there is a very kind person who is prepared to give grain to whoever is in need, although at a nominal price. So Yaqub alayhi salam then sent his sons to Egypt to collect some grain, because in Canaan where they were living, there was no grain and no food available. So anyway, the brothers come to Egypt, and they come to Yusuf alayhi salam, not recognizing him to be the same Yusuf who they had thrown into the well. They had left him there for dead, or they had left him there and they had forgotten about him. And here he was, actually in charge of running the whole country of Egypt. They did not recognize him, but Yusuf alayhi salam recognized his brothers. And Binyamin was not amongst them. Yaqub alayhi salam, after he had lost Yusuf alayhi salam, then his affection and attention was more towards Binyamin, who was the real brother of Yusuf alayhi salam, and he refused to let go of Binyamin out of his sight, so they did not come with Binyamin. Yusuf alayhi salam was anxious to find out about his brother, his condition, so he asked them, "Don't you have another brother?" And they said, "Yes, but our father refuses to now let go of him. Therefore, we could not bring him." Anyway, Yusuf alayhi salam gives them the grain, and they pay for it also, but Yusuf alayhi salam then told them that in future when you come for grain, bring your brother along, or else you will not get any grain. And secretly he put back the money they had paid for the grain back into their possessions without them knowing. The brothers return happily to Canaan. They tell their father of their experience, what a nice person this person is. When they open their possessions, they see that the money has been returned. They say, "Now, ma nabghi, what else do we want? Our money also has been returned to us." So then now they decide now to go once more again to fetch more grain, but they told their father that we have been told that without bringing our brother Binyamin, we will not get any grain. And they promise that they will look after Binyamin. And Yaqub alayhi salam, after much hesitation, he agrees on the promise that they will safeguard and look after him and bring him back safely. Anyway, when the brothers go the second time to Egypt, Yusuf alayhi salam decides that he wants to keep back his brother by him, and but he had to use a strategy, and this was that a valuable drinking cup of the king was secretly put into the possessions of Binyamin, and when they were departing again with their grain, announcement was made that you are thieves. These people pleaded their innocence, that we haven't come to steal here, but they said that if that what you are missing, the drinking cup of the king, if it is found in our possessions, they agreed that that person could be detained and kept as a slave of the a person from whom he had stolen. And then the drinking cup was taken out from was found in the possession of Binyamin, and then Binyamin was kept behind. Yusuf alayhi salam disclosed to Binyamin that I am your brother, and this is just a way through which I want to keep you back by me. But the brothers were quite worried. What answer are they going to give to their father, whom they had promised they will bring Binyamin safely back to them? But And even the, one of them offered that he be detained on, in place of Binyamin, and Binyamin should be allowed to go. But that offer was refused, and then the brothers returned back to their father. That brother, who the eldest brother, also refused to go back. What face he will face his father? Therefore, he refused to go back. He also stayed behind in Egypt, and the rest of the brothers, they returned. When they told their father about the whole episode, the father, his grief and his crying intensified to such an extent that he lost his eyesight, he became blind, and then but he had the apprehension that, no, I will be united with my children once again. So he sends his sons once again, the third time, and tells them that go look for Yusuf and Binyamin. He knew that something is now, there's some secret wisdom behind this whole incident, and the brothers come the third time, and that is when Yusuf alayhi salam discloses his identity to his brothers by telling them that, don't you know what you did with Yusuf and his brother from before? Hal alimtum ma fa'altum bi Yusuf wa akhihi? When you were in a state of ignorance, they were shocked that, how does this person know about Yusuf? They looked at him properly and they realized that, no, this is our same brother whom we had thrown into the well. And they said, innaka la anta Yusuf? Yusuf alayhi salam says, yes, I am Yusuf and this is my brother. And Allah Ta'ala has favored us, and the person who adopts taqwa and sabr, Allah Ta'ala does not let go waste the rewards of those who do good. Anyway, then Yusuf alayhi salam then tells them, they ask for forgiveness. Yusuf alayhi salam says, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. There is no rebuke for you today. Allah Ta'ala has forgiven you, and Allah Ta'ala is most merciful. Then he takes his kurta and tells his brothers, go back to Canaan, place my kurta over the face of my father, and he will, and his sight will return. He will become sighted again. And this is exactly what happened. Yaqub alayhi salam sensed already from before that I can smell the smell of Yusuf. But people regarded this to be the effects of his old age, and he's just hallucinating, and he's just now thinking of things which is not a reality. But when this transpired, and the brothers returned, and his eyesight was restored, and then Yusuf alayhi salam had also told them that, now bring our father and all the whole family here to Egypt. And that's how then they all came to Egypt from Canaan. And when they entered by Yusuf alayhi salam, they all fell in, they all bowed down in front of Yusuf alayhi salam in honor of Yusuf alayhi salam. To bow down for in honor of someone is not permitted in our Shariat, but in the previous Shariat it was permitted. And however, to bow down in front of anyone in the form of worship for that person, that is not permitted in any way in any religion. However, in honor, in the previous Shariat, it was permitted. And then Yusuf alayhi salam makes shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also makes dua, tawaffani muslima wa alhiqni bis salihin, that, oh Allah ta'ala, grant me a death in a condition that I am a Muslim, I am subservient to your command in all instances, and join me up with the righteous and pious. So this was the whole incident. Allah Ta'ala says, Tilka min amba'il ghaybi nuhihi ilayk. These are the news and narratives of the unseen, which we sent as revelation to you, which was a proof of the nabuwat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The next surah is Surah Ar-Ra'd. It is a Madani surah, but here many fundamentals of deen also have been explained, although it's a Madani surah, in which particularly Allah Ta'ala's oneness and tawheed, and only Him being worthy of being worshipped, is being explained. Allah Ta'ala explains it by mentioning many of His great creations, through which we can understand the great power and qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah mentions concerning the creation of the skies and the earth and the rivers and the fruits and the orchards and all the different other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala then also mentions concerning these people who refused to accept that there is life after death, that they used to say that when we will turn to dust, how is it that we will be again created? Allah Ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ. These people have made kufr with their Rabb, and these people now will be the inmates of Jahannam. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions also His all-encompassing knowledge, that only Allah Ta'ala knows what a female carries within her womb when she becomes pregnant, whether animals, whether human beings, and also Allah Ta'ala knows how the fetus increases and decreases, which fetus will now complete its term and will be born in a complete form, and which fetus will not complete its term. Allah Ta'ala says Allah has full knowledge of everything. Allah mentions His many attributes also. Allah is Alimul Ghaybi wa Shahada. Allah is Kabir. Allah is Muta'al. Allah is the greatest. Allah is the most high. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore is worthy of being worshipped. Further on, Allah Ta'ala mentions concerning the system of the skies, that Rad means thunder, and also the angel deputed in charge of the functioning of the clouds and the system of rain. That Allah Ta'ala is also the name of Rad. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of him also. And then further on, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala makes mention of the other bounties in the form of rain which Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala sends down, and the whole system of the rains which come down on the earth. Further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who either gives somebody hidayat or deprives a person from hidayat and keeps him in balalat, in misguidance. Allah says, وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ أَنَابَ. Those who turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala guides them towards Himself, and they are such people, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, who bring iman, and وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, and their hearts are at content and at peace and serenity with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes a person's heart to be at peace and content, and today's problems which we find in society, which is increasing by the day, stress levels, anxiety, restlessness, depression, the remedy for it has been mentioned here in this verse, that it is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which will put the hearts at ease and contentment. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions and consoles Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the previous Anbiya alayhi wa sallam were also mocked at, and we gave them respite, and then we seized them suddenly, and then see how my punishment came upon them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is consoled that it is not only your nation who refused to accept your message and mock at you, the previous nations also did the same with their respective Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. One of the objections of the Mushrikeen and was that how is it that you are a Rasul amongst us, and you have wives and you have children? In other words, a Rasul not supposed to be a human, he's supposed to be, for example, an angel. Allah Ta'ala says this objection is baseless. Every Nabi which was sent, no Nabi was sent before you, but he also had wives and children. In other words, to be a human is not contrary to Nabuwat. Nabuwat, Allah Ta'ala sends in the form of human beings amongst the people themselves. Allah Ta'ala chooses somebody and selects somebody to be a Nabi. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِرَسُولٍ أَيَّتِيَ بِآيَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Another objection of theirs was that why don't you show us the miracle of our choice? Allah Ta'ala says that it is not for a Rasul that he can bring forth a sign from Allah Ta'ala, but with the permission and order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not in his choice to show miracles. Miracles are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who manifest them on the hands of the Nabi. The next surah is Surah Ibrahim, which is a Makki surah. Here too the fundamentals of deen have been explained in quite extensive detail. And Ibrahim alayhi salam's story is also mentioned, who was a pillar of Tawheed. And he was the one who emphasized Tawheed to his nation. His incident is also mentioned here. Allah Ta'ala mentions concerning the importance of making shukr and showing gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His bounties. Allah says, if you are grateful, لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, I will increase you in the bounties. And if you are ungrateful, then my punishment is very severe, which indicates that to show gratitude is a very important point. Ulama explain that the reality of gratitude is, first of all, to acknowledge that that bounty is from the Mun'im, the one who has given you that bounty, to acknowledge that. Then to praise Him, to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then to use that bounty for the purpose for which it was given. Every bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got a purpose. To misuse it is to show ingratitude to that bounty. To use it, whether it's our eyes Allah ta'ala gave us, our tongue Allah gave us, or any of the other bounties which Allah ta'ala blesses us with, it has to be used for the purpose for which it had been designed. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of the example of the good word, the kalima tayyiba, that it is like that good tree, that excellent tree, the tree referring to the khajuri tree, the date tree, asluha sabitu, that its roots are firm in the ground and its branches are in the sky. So, which means that a person with true iman, when he does good actions, those actions are raised to the skies and Allah Ta'ala gives it acceptance. And it brings its fruits on its time. In other words, every season it brings its fruit with the permission of Allah Ta'ala. And the example of the evil and bad kalima, the words of kufr and shirk, is like that evil tree, referring to like weeds and that, which can be uprooted from the top of the earth and it doesn't have any stability. Weeds, we all know, sometimes they grow to great lengths, but their roots are just on the surface of the earth and very easily one tug and it can be pulled out. So that is the example of the evil word. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning Ibrahim alayhi salam, the du'as he made concerning Makkatul Mukarrama. We all know Ibrahim alayhi salam, his homeland was in Iraq, and with the order of Allah Ta'ala, with his wife Hajar and his son, infant son Ismail alayhi salam, they were told to settle at that time completely deserted and uninhabited place, which today is Makkatul Mukarrama. Ibrahim alayhi salam makes du'a that, oh Allah Ta'ala, make the city a place of peace and keep me away and my children from the worship of idols, from idol worshipping. And then then he makes further dua that, oh Allah Ta'ala, I have now settled my family in such a valley which is not inhabited, which cannot be cultivated. We all know Makkatul Mukarrama is a barren piece of land, but he makes the dua that, oh Allah Ta'ala, so that we can establish Salat and perfect our Salat, and oh Allah Ta'ala, make the hearts of people inclined to them, to my family whom I have settled here in Makkah, and give them fruits of all types so that they can be grateful. And we all know in Makkatul Mukarrama up to today, although nothing is manufactured there, nothing grows there, but everything which is found in the world, whether it's the fruits, whether it's the other things which grow, or whether it's any manufactured article, they all come to Makkatul Mukarrama, and whoever goes there, they can see it in the marketplaces of Makkatul Mukarrama. And then the surah then terminates, and the para also terminates with the description, some descriptions of the people of Jahannam and of Qiyamah. And then Allah Ta'ala says towards the end, the last verse, that this Qur'an Majeed is a message for the people, so that they can be warned through this Qur'an Majeed, and so that they can know that your ilah is only one ilah, only one Allah to be worshipped, and so that the people of intelligence can take advice and admonishment. The surah then terminates on this ayat.